Jesus speaks about fear a lot. We know that he often told his disciples, do not be afraid. In today's gospel, he mentions fear four times. Well, fear, we don't have to be told this, we experience it all the time. And no one likes the experience of fear. We tend to look down on this particular emotion, and we uphold the virtue of courage. We look down on cowards, and we uphold courageous heroes. It's not hard to come up with examples of fear. We're naturally afraid of a lot of things. We can see this in the response of young babies. Babies who can talk and they don't have a developed thought process, but if they hear a loud sound, they react. Or thunder, they react. Or if they see a stranger, they're afraid. Sometimes people bring babies up to me to have me bless them. And as soon as they see me, they start crying. That's fear. Natural reaction to something unusual or unfamiliar. And we have many fears. We fear danger, we fear evil people, we fear loss, we fear sickness, war. We fear being treated unjustly, rejection, isolation, abandonment, mockery, all kinds of things. We fear poverty, pain, persecution, all kinds of suffering we fear, naturally. And we fear death, especially a painful death. We don't have to be told to fear these things, we simply do. All of these things have a kind of a power to elicit an automatic reaction from us. Not that all fear is bad. I mean, it's not always a bad thing. We should fear things that threaten us. Then we have an awareness that we have to take appropriate action. So it's not that it's a bad thing. But the goal of mature people is not to be without the emotion of fear, but to make the right use of fear so that we're not controlled by fear. Well, anyway, Jesus speaks about fear a lot. As I say, he mentions it four times in today's gospel. That's why I'm talking about it this morning. It seems to be one of the central themes of this gospel, fear. There's a little bit of a surprise here because three times Jesus says, do not be afraid. But the other time, the fourth time, he says, be afraid. The three times he says, do not be afraid. First of all, the opening line, fear no one. Then a little bit later, he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And then near the end of this gospel, he says, so do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. But in the middle, there's this strange line. Right after saying, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, he says, rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Well, let's reflect on this a little bit. First of all, when Jesus gives us a commandment not to fear, he's not telling us not to feel any fear. That would be impossible anyway, in fact, not even good. Not even human. What he's doing here is he's showing us that he's well aware that we do have this natural reaction of fear. Reaction to threats and to losses and to pain. But at the same time, he's alerting us to the need to rise above this reaction. He's not burdening us with another prohibition, another commandment. Rather, he's setting us free or inviting us to be free of the trap of letting fear control us. He's calling us to courage, which is not a natural reaction. Courage is a decision which we can make when we trust in Him. There's a passage in the letter to the Hebrews that refers to this. It says there, this is Hebrews chapter 2, he says that since we're all made of flesh and blood, in other words, we're all human, we're all subject to the weaknesses of human nature, it says Jesus took on this same condition. So if it's natural for us to fear, Jesus also took on the experience of fear. That's part of being human. So that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. See, people can be held in slavery all their life long by fear of death. This is this kind of fear, the letter to the Hebrews says, is a weapon of the devil. And God wants to set us free from this slavery. Okay, so Jesus says in the gospel, do not be afraid, fear no one. Do not be afraid of too much feedback coming from the microphone. Do not be afraid. But it sounds great, do not be afraid, but that doesn't change anything. Just to be told not to be afraid, we have to have a reason not to be afraid. And Jesus gives us very good reasons. First of all, he says, dangers and wicked people and sufferings may be able to kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. When we were children, we were told to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. I don't know if you ever heard that one. In other words, yes, there are things that can harm us, but nothing can kill our soul. So don't be afraid of what cannot kill the soul. This is very freeing if we think about it a little bit, if we understand it. It's as if we're saying, or the Lord is saying to us, there's a limit to what can be done. And we can say to anyone or anything that we're afraid of, there's a limit to what you can do to me. You cannot destroy me. You cannot harm the core of who I am, my soul. This is what the martyrs know, or what the martyrs proclaim when they lay down their lives, that they're saying, you might kill me, yeah, you might kill me, you might have that power, but I still win in the end, and you lose. Because truth always wins in the end, so the one who's dedicated to the truth wins, even if he's killed. This is the perspective of faith. This is the wisdom that we have when we know that there's more to life than this world only, or this body only. There's more to life. There's what comes after this life. So that's one reason why we can overcome fear, why we can live with courage. Because no one can destroy our soul. There is one who can destroy us, that's God himself. And Jesus actually addresses this very thing. God does have power over us. He has absolute power, he has absolute authority over everything. And this can be very frightening to people. Sometimes people give in to the fear that God is dangerous because he's so powerful. People fear that God will punish them for their sins, that God will send them to hell. And in their fear, and this is not completely irrational, in their fear, they try to stay away from God. Well, that's the wrong way to use fear. Jesus teaches us the right way. He tells us the truth here, the truth about how to relate to this fearsome, awesome, powerful God. He says, yes, our Father has power to destroy, but does he, in fact, destroy? No. This is where Jesus starts talking about the destructive power of God, and then he starts to mention worthless sparrows and insignificant human hair. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's knowledge. Not one hair on our heads is unnoticed or uncounted. Why is that important? What's the point of talking about sparrows and hair? He's saying, do not be afraid of God, because he cares for every little detail of our life, every hair. So don't be afraid of anything or anyone else, because God is caring for you. God is caring for every detail of your life. There are lots of reasons to fear, yes. But there's one answer to all fears, that is the love of God. If he cares for sparrows, and we're worth much more than a whole flock of sparrows, if he cares for every hair, we're worth much more than our hair, well, then we can be sure that he cares for us. That's the point of the movie. You go back to the example of babies. I mentioned how babies are naturally fearful of certain things. How do we console a baby? We don't explain to the baby why he or she should not be afraid. We hold the baby. The presence of a loving parent, it's Father's Day, of a loving father, gives security to the baby. The baby doesn't understand it. The baby feels it. And we are in the care of our loving Father. We don't have to understand how God, in his all-powerful and omniscience, how he cares for us. We just have to trust that it's true. Now, there's one error, before I finish here, that I want to point out or warn us against when it comes to not fearing. And the error is this, the idea that because God loves us, because he cares for us, and because he watches over every hair on our heads, the error is to think that that means that we will never suffer. That God will make sure we don't suffer, that God will make sure that things don't go wrong, that he will prevent all trouble, that he will save us from every danger. That's not how it works. God does save us from all that we fear, but he does it according to his own criteria, not according to our criteria. We think that being saved means not having any problems. God thinks that being saved means being with him forever in glory. That's two different things. What we think should happen and what God thinks should happen, two different things. So when we pray, Lord, I'm afraid, Lord, save me from this thing that I fear, we're placing ourselves in his hands, in his loving embrace, in his certain care. We're not telling him what to do. We're entrusting ourselves to him. And that's how we overcome fear. Because if we tell him what to do and he doesn't do it, then we'll be afraid again. That's like one of the best remedies for the paralyzing effect of fear is to turn to Jesus on the cross. The very center of every church. Jesus on the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus takes on all that we fear. Pain, rejection, betrayal, loss, suffering, death. And he turns it around. He takes it on and he uses it to defeat the devil, to defeat death. And it's a definitive victory. That's why we can welcome his words, do not be afraid, huwag kayong matakot, because all that we fear has already been taken care of by his death on the cross and his resurrection. We're right not to be afraid of anything or anyone. We're right to put our trust in God, because he has shown us that he is willing to pay any price to save us. So do not be afraid of you.